Welcome to the Supplement Engineer Podcast. My name is Robert Chinetsky. Today we are rejoined by Jess Kane Berman, the head of marketing for Body Bio. Welcome back, Jess. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Things are going well. This is the new normal that we're adjusting to. And I'm curious, what have things been like from a business standpoint? As you know, the supplement industry was deemed an essential service. So that's very good for all parties involved in the supplement industry. So how have y'all either pivoted, changed tactics? You know, what is going on behind the scenes with y'all?
I think it's something we have to address on almost a daily basis. My husband's the CEO, so I get a lot of insight into his mindset and how he's pivoting and what he's looking at, and talking with our controller and our head of operations all the time, talking with our encapsulators all the time. One of those got shut down for a little while in New York State, and then they picked back up. So it's this roller coaster. You know, things will be really solid for a couple of days, and then something will change or something will happen, and everything kind of gets thrown up in the air. But overall, we've stayed really consistent. Obviously, we've changed a lot that happens in the office in terms of our sanitation and cleaning. We are doing deep cleans twice a week. We've got everybody in, you know, full protective gear who are working within the packages and manufacturing.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing a mask, unless you're in your office like I am right now.
Right.
And a lot of alcohol spray. I can say that we're lucky to have our isopurpl jugs in the back of the warehouse that we've now repurposed into spray for everyone.
Awesome.
But really, it's just about how do you keep things going while you can. You know, we're all very cognizant of the fact that if somebody here gets sick, the whole place could be shut down for a little while. So
Right. Everyone's
really doing their part to stay clean. That's for sure.
How many employees do y'all have in-house there?
Just under 40.
Just under 40. Okay. So do y'all have to, have y'all had to make it, is there PPE required outside of face masks and gloves? Is the local government making y'all do that when you're in the building or anything?
I mean, they are. Mm-hmm. I think in every state it's different. I think it also changes day to day. You know, the governor can make a decision that affects our business. So they're keeping in line with that with our legal team. Mm-hmm. And any kind of changes that happen within, if you are in a physical office, what you have to do. So those come from our HR team. So we're really staying on top of all that as and when things change.
Gotcha. As marketing, what has changed for you on a day-to-day basis? So are you changing kind of the ad way, the way y'all are targeting ads or the way you're marketing certain products for the brand? How are you, what's changed, I guess, in your day to day since we've last spoken?
I think that the increase in interest in zinc and vitamin C has skyrocketed. I think a lot of people have found us because, you know, in the month of March, things were just crazy and things were selling out everywhere. And people were really concerned about being able to continue to purchase, whether, you know, their favorite supplement company would shut down or their distributor, whoever it is, would shut down. So there was a buying frenzy in March. Things have stayed much more consistent in April, but I think people are almost finding out about us through other people saying, hey, they've got zinc available, go get their liquid zinc right away.
Yeah.
So we've pivoted some marketing to do, you know, things are back in stock as and when we stocked out and then mm-hmm. replenished. We pivoted some of our ads about immunity, but obviously you also want to be really careful about what you say. You know, I think there's a lot of things people were saying to take at the beginning and then cytokine storms came up and you can't take this and you should take this. So
right.
I think at the end of the day for us, it goes back to, we produce really pure, high quality supplements. That's what matters. We source our things from really great places mm-hmm. and make sure we're getting what it actually says that's on the label. And so we've just been consistent with that. Mm-hmm. And just trying to see how we can help our customers. We, in the month of March, decided to donate a percentage of the month's revenue, 1%, to No Kid Hungry. So I think a lot of our customers were really excited about that.
Yeah.
And then when we weren't sure what was going to happen, we did a sale on our phosphatidylcholine just to make sure people could get it before, mm-hmm. If, you know, God forbid we were shut down, but luckily we weren't.
Right. A lot of companies now, y'all have always been positioned in the general health and wellness category. Now we're seeing a lot of companies that were more sports performance or like the hardcore meathead bodybuilding thing, all of a sudden try to throw their hat in the immunity boosting. Everybody in their grandma's coming out with either an elderberry, a zinc, a vitamin C, or some kind of immune boosting supplement. As if put yourself in the consumer shoes, if you saw a brand all of a sudden pivot on a dime like that, does that come across as almost disingenuous or misleading to the consumer? And as a head of marketing, what is going through your head in that situation as well?
I think for us, it's our mission to just stay the course, right? Mm-hmm. Just do what we've always done. We've been around for 27 years. Mm-hmm. And how do you keep the course of research and science dictating the products that you make? Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of these companies that kind of are able to just pivot so quickly and create a new supplement so quickly, I question right. where they're getting the raw materials from. I question right. what's going into that. You know, I think the myth of the supplement industry is people don't really necessarily understand where things are coming from. Right. And I don't know if they realize that most companies aren't manufacturing. Most companies don't have a manufacturing line.
Correct.
They're buying it from somewhere else that's manufacturing it. And so it's really easy to just go out and be like, okay, you know what? Let's purchase that, throw a digital label on it. We can get it out there in a couple days.
Yeah.
And look, I think that that might be really beneficial for some. And I give kudos to the companies doing that because at least they're keeping their employees employed and staying open. And
right.
thinking creatively, but it's definitely not our style. We did put together a immunity bundle, mm-hmm. but that was more because we were getting asked to do it. And people, I wanted to get out there that when you mix our phosphatidylcholine in liquid, especially when you agitated it at a really high speed, like in a magic blender or something like that, mm-hmm. magic bullet, it encapsulates the nutrients. So our PC kind of locks around the vitamin C and the zinc and improves the cellular delivery. Mm-hmm. So it's liposomal, meaning it's actually going to get through the digestive system, through the intestinal wall, and into the bloodstream. So that was really the only pivot we did in terms of marketing. It was like, okay, well, this is a great opportunity for us to tell people about increased bioavailability and how you can get more zinc and vitamin C into the body. Mm-hmm. But that's also been really fascinating because then you have all these people coming back to us saying, well, can I add this to this and this to this? And it's like, hey, people, do you want all that getting to your cells? Be careful here.
Right. Has anything changed in your personal supplementation regimen over the past 6 months or so?
Oh, yeah. I think it's changed, but I have my consistent things that I take every day. But I've definitely been more cognizant of taking vitamin C every day. Mm-hmm. Definitely more cognizant of eating super healthy, trying to keep a really clean diet, anti-inflammatory. I think, you know, if you do get this thing and the healthier you are, the better. Mm-hmm. I've definitely added quercetin to my routine because it helps mm-hmm. keep the lungs moist. So that's one that I was not taking before and I have my whole family on now. And just really upping the intake of phosphatidylcholine. It's a lung surfactant, so it's keeping the lungs healthy. Yeah. And, you know, doing things that you don't normally do. I'm not normally afraid of getting a respiratory disease. So, you know, what else can you do to keep healthy?
Yeah. Is there anything, you're also a mother and you have a young child as we do here. Is there anything, how do you feel about giving supplements to kids? Have you changed anything that you're giving to your son at all?
I do. I add a little bit of our vitamin C. It's sourced in Scotland, from Scotland. It's highly traceable. It's non-GMO, so I trust it. Mm-hmm. I give him a tiny, tiny bit in his orange juice, just some days, not all days. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'll do our liquid mineral premix because it has some zinc in it, mm-hmm. and it's a homeopathic dosage, so it's light enough. I try to get him to take a teaspoon of PC, but he won't always do it. I hope that he'll lick it. I add it into his smoothies and things like that. Yeah. Just little things that you can do. But obviously, like, I've consulted the physicians that I trust on my kids, on my kids' health and wellness.
I bought a bottle of liquid fish oil a while back, and I tried giving it to our daughter, and it was strawberry flavored or something. And it was one of the higher quality ones because I looked at a few different ones, and I gave her a syringe full of it, and I said, it's brain juice. And she tasted it, and she said, I don't like brain juice. I don't want brain juice anymore. So I've started sneaking it into, if we make her a giant fruit smoothie with, you know, milk and some protein powder and some spinach and strawberries and whatever else, I'll slip it in there.
Yeah.
And it works that way. But no, the brain juice tactic, I thought that would kind of work for it, and that backfired in a big way.
I tried that. I tried that with our PC. I think I tried to pretend it was chocolate. It's a chocolate vitamin because he knows like our time for taking our vitamins and he calls them vitamins and he'll run over to the drawer. Mm-hmm. But no, it didn't work. I have to sneak it into the food.
Excellent.
I did just post a boosting kids' immunity blog post article on our site, though. So yeah, check that out. It's a good one.
What tips would you give to other listeners out there for doing it? Just as some quick snippets. I'll put a link to the article in the show notes, but what quick takeaways can you give to some of the listeners out there?
For immune system or kids? For both? I mean, I think for kids, it's really about just eating healthy, non-processed foods. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge one for keeping their inflammation down. I think another one is just find the right supplements that you want to give them that you feel comfortable. I think the problem with our food source nowadays is that a lot of the nutrients have been depleted because of the way the food is manufactured. Mm-hmm. And so in order to really optimize their health, you probably do need to add some supplementation at some point. Mm-hmm. So I've got some tips for toddlers in there, things that you can mix in easily, like vitamin C or a balance oil to get the omegas and the essential fatty acids for kids that are so important for their brain development. Mm-hmm. For adults, you know, it's really about keeping the inflammation down, eating healthy and getting your body into a great place so that if and when you do get this virus, that you're okay mm-hmm. and you're able to fight it. And obviously following the guidelines and washing your hands a lot. But I think for the most part, it's really, for us, it's, if you can take care of your health and you can have healthy cells, you can fight this thing a lot better. Right. And I hope that that's the truth behind it. So,
excellent. I'd like to change course. And I was talking with my wife before you and I were heading up to this interview, and we were discussing, you know, possible topics. And one thing that she brought up that I hadn't even considered, so your grandfather started the company. How mm-hmm. was that transition where it's passing from the old guard to the new guard with you and your husband now as the CEO? How was that transition? How did that kind of go about and everything?
You know, I think at the end of the day, they're really focused on the research and the science. And I think what was really the science of our cells and of the fatty acid composition of our cells is extremely complex. And it is very difficult to swallow. And it took somebody who could really sit down and understand it, but also understand how to translate it from not to marketing language, but to help spread the word about how important these things are and kind of take the science and bring it to a more approachable way of talking about it. So I think that they were really excited about it and open to it and just excited to get this stuff into more people's hands, not just doctors.
Mm-hmm. What steps can you take? So initially it started out as being something y'all were working closely with physicians with, and that's where kind of the Body Bio name grew. And since, you know, you've always been mentioning how to expand it to more consumers. What kind of steps can you take on your part to expand the reach of the company?
Now it's really all about brand. It's not even so much brand awareness, because that's not what's important. It's product awareness. It's what makes our PC different than the 45,000 other PCs you see on Amazon? Mm-hmm. Or how do you explain to people the 27 years of clinical data of doctors that have been using the stuff, but we may not have been able to afford a clinical trial, but you have all these people whose lives you've changed and you can see that. So how do you explain that? We started really simply by adding reviews to our platform mm-hmm. and you can check out the reviews of all of our products, which has been so helpful for people. I think we're going to start doing some more and more interviews with physicians, mm-hmm. just talking about their experience and how it's worked in their practice and why they have people taking it. Mm-hmm. So we've got that trust in our company. Mm-hmm. From the physicians, it's just really how do you put that out there for people to hear? Yeah.
Is it possible for y'all, I'm not sure, that you'll have to educate me on the legal side of it or the ramifications, for how far can you extend or advertise the fact that you've been using this with doctors for years and years? And you could almost put it's physician recommended on the label, but can you actually do that, or do you have to go through some legal hurdles to do that?
No, you can definitely say physician recommended. The FDA allows you to make structure function claims. You can explain the function of what that nutrient does in the body. Mm-hmm. What you can't do is say X cures X.
Right.
It's been known. You also can't be misleading. So you can't say X has been known to alleviate symptoms of X. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be very careful with your disease claims and only talk about the actual structure and the function in the body of the nutrient. But you can easily say physician recommended, clinically tested, all of these things. Mm-hmm. It also brings up a really good point, because something that I really noticed with the vitamin C craze is people can say things are liposomal as a buzzword and as a keyword, yeah. but how do you actually know if it's liposomal or not? You know, we know because True. We check ours under a microscope, but that's a very expensive, very strong microscope.
Right.
So there's no governing authority in terms of marketing language on supplements. Mm-hmm. And I guess you just have to go with brands that you trust.
Yeah.
And brands that you think are doing the correct things.
The industry was already starting to trend towards a little bit more of a crackdown on companies making outlandish claims. Do you think, given the surge we've seen in immune supplements over the past few months, that it'll oversight and regulation will get even stricter for the industry as a whole?
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt in my mind. Because if they're being so careful about what they're using for treatments right now, mm-hmm. and, you know, going back on anything that's said and covering people and in the media, yeah. they're being very kind of cautious about it, I think we're going to be scrutinized even more. Mm-hmm. And we see that. I mean, you see yeah. it in how they're editing social media and certain things are getting lost and disappearing. And
right.
we're just always super careful to talk about the structure and the function. And vitamin C has been proven to help immunity. So you can talk about that, but mm-hmm. you just want to be super careful with it.
Are you in favor of the stricter regulation or increased oversight? Or do you kind of like it, I guess, when the industry is more regarded as the Wild West?
Look, I think we do things correctly, so I'm not worried. But I think that it's really concerning. It's a difficult one to answer.
Yeah.
Because you don't want it to be the Wild West. And I hate seeing that supplement companies are putting crap in there and not labeling it. That's awful because it gives us all a bad name.
Agreed.
So in that respect, absolutely. In the respect of, you know, not talking in the forefront about the fact that healthy immune systems, you know, things you can do to support your immune system aren't out there more, I think is mm-hmm. disappointing from the media perspective, but
yeah.
that's really it.
Gotcha. Have y'all intended, so given you, maybe you have had a business plan at the start of 2020, we were going to release X amount of products or, you know, update some current formulations we had. What has changed over the since the start of the whole COVID crisis quarantine situation? Has that affected your deliveries for the rest of the year, your release schedule or anything like that?
We've had to increase massively. I mean, we went from, you know, selling a certain amount of zinc, and I think at one point it was up like, I don't remember what the percentage was, but it was like 350%.
Wow.
So then you have to change your entire production schedule.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we are, you know, really able to do that very quickly mm-hmm. Because we manufacture things just right behind me, technically.
Right.
We're able to swap that around and move things and make the changes needed to increase production or, you know, push things later down the year. But mm-hmm. at the moment, I think we've got a good grasp on it, good grasp on, you know, raw material orders and things like that. So I think we are prepared for it, but it definitely was a crazy month in March.
Yeah.
And even now, I mean, it's just a constant. You have to stay on top of it every day.
Have you all had any issues getting raws in to keep the supplements in stock and processed?
Fortunately not. No,
okay,
we're lucky.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then what about for future releases of 2020? Any updates to that, or do y'all still, what was your beginning of the business plan at 2020 still for the foreseeable future through the end of 2020?
I've been testing for about a year now to try to figure out how to encapsulate vitamin C and our phosphatidylcholine. Mm-hmm. And we can't get it. We can't get it to a point that we want where we can release it in a capsule. So we are now looking at a liquid form of that. And we pivoted to a liquid form because initially it was the ease of taking it. People wanted something easy to take, but we couldn't prove that it was liposomal in a capsule. Mm-hmm. So what we're pivoting to is a liquid version. I'm hoping to be able to launch it as soon as our quality control and testing and mm-hmm. everything goes through with that. But that's something that I definitely want to launch this year. Towards the end of the year would be a liposomal vitamin C using our specific phosphatidylcholine.
Interesting. Is it a gel cap a possibility, or have y'all explored that, or just the regular standard capsules?
We tried everything. We tried a gel cap. It'd have to be in a soft gel.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we were not able to get it to prove that it was liposomal.
Is there, I don't know if this would be giving away any of the secret sauce of the brand or anything, but can you explain maybe why it's been difficult to do that? Or do you know maybe some of the science about why you can't get that encapsulation the way that you're looking for?
I think it has to do with the water content in our PC and the types of vitamin C that we were using. And as they were, when you mixed the two together,
mm-hmm.
we found that, like, in one case, it was growing mold after a while. We found that you couldn't encapsulate and prove that there was a liposome once you opened it. So it has to be mixed at, like, a super high speed and mm-hmm. blended together or sonicated. Yeah. And you can't then encapsulate it and keep that.
Right.
Typically, they would separate. So yeah. Our QC department was really looking at it in depth, but it's just, I'm not sure it's possible to encapsulate a liposome. Of vitamin C and phosphatidylcholine.
Yeah.
I think some companies may mix something very different. They may mix lecithin, or they may mix kind of triple lecithin and packed in oil with yeah. vitamin C, but I don't know that it's definitely liposomal, and we just don't want to put a product out there unless we can really show that it is what it is.
Right. Have y'all considered packaging phosphatidylcholine with anything else like zinc or elderberry or any of those other kind of trendy immune ingredients?
The other one that we were looking at is glutathione. That was one we were looking at in the past as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be helpful. Elderberry, I think there's positives and negatives there. So we have to be careful with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And our liquid mineral zinc works so well and has for so many people for so long that we just are keeping them separate. So
yeah.
That's really, I think, in the pipeline. I like to really focus on doing it and doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So almost approach of one at a time. So I think it'll probably be liposomal C next.
Excellent. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
With the liquid phosphatidylcholine, do you find people trend more towards going for liquid supplements versus capsules, or is it kind of split 50-50?
It depends on your tolerance for whether you just like to take things quickly and have it, or mm-hmm. whether you like to just pop a couple pills, it's really a personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
I take a tablespoon to 2 tablespoons a day of the PC, so I like to just be able to have the liquid as opposed to popping a ton of pills.
Yeah.
I'd say both the 300 capsule and the 16-ounce liquid PC are our best sellers. So mm-hmm. I don't know if I could tell the difference in sales. Actually, they're the top two.
Yeah. Can you give the listeners, I guess, some type of what the liquid form, the taste of it? Is it flavored at all? Is it not flavored? Is it something that you just kind of get used to after a while?
I do think you get used to it. It has a little bit of a molasses type texture, a molasses type flavor. It's very unique. It's I don't know how to describe it. I think people get put off by the texture sometimes because it is quite heavy, but I always just shoot it down with water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an easy way just to get it down easily. But the taste, I can't pinpoint. I don't know how to pinpoint it. It's a weird one.
Have you gotten any requests for a flavored version of it, or to add some kind of sweetener or other kind of flavoring to it from consumers?
Always. We get asked that all the time. It's just not who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably smelled our butyrate. We're not adding any additives to that either.
Yeah.
And our Elite tastes like salt.
Yep.
You know, true stuff. So no additives, no preservatives, you know, it's just keep away from all the things that don't need to be there.
Right. Yeah. I've used I'm just about finished, because after our first call, y'all sent me a nice little care package of stuff to try, and the Elite, I've got a little bit of it left, and so I'll pour a couple of capsules into whatever other kind of thing I'm drinking, or sometimes I'll just shoot the cap by itself or water.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that there's little salt crystals that kind of form on the lip of the bottle on the outside,
mm-hmm.
I guess from when it, you know, it dehydrates in the air, and you just get those little salt crystals. But
yeah,
I think after our first call, when you said, yeah, I'm going to send you the Elite to try, I thought, okay, well, this is every other electrolyte formula I've usually tried is some kind of flavored something. It's either lemon, lime, or strawberry or something. And I shot this for the first time. I was expecting it to be something like super concentrated sweet. I went, whoa!
Yeah. Sweet is not what the concentration is. I would definitely say salty.
No, yeah. It was. I mean, it's a good wake-up call, too. If you do that first thing in the morning, man, that'll... Or you mix it in water or something. It's a heck of a way to wake up in the morning, too.
It's like salt water. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
It's like salt water. I can't drink water without it now, though.
Really? You like the saltier, so minerally kind of taste to it?
I need that kind of minerally taste.
Mm-hmm.
Even my kids. I mean, my son will ask me for, he calls it mommy wawa. So he'll come and grab my water and drink it.
How often, I guess, do you use it during the day? Or do you just mix up like a big jug and just sip it throughout the day?
Usually I mix up a big jug and sip it throughout the day. I like to have it first thing in the morning because mm-hmm. I think, you know, I just feel very dehydrated after a night
mm-hmm.
sleep. And so I usually have a glass or two of water with it in there. I drink a lot of it though. I mean, I put in probably 2 ounces into a cup of water. So I put a lot.
2 ounces of the Elite solution?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's
not throughout the day, but yeah. For my first glass of water, I like to get in my hydration.
Holy cow. That's a hefty dose, but I guess, I mean, everything's balanced in there pretty well. So that there's nothing to really, there's no issues or anything like that.
Nope. No, exactly.
Have y'all ever thought about, I guess, marketing that as a possible kind of intro workout or pre-workout supplement, taking that blend or using it as part of that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why my grandfather really put it together and invented it. He did it in his bathtub. He was just experimenting because he was a marathon runner and mm-hmm. kept getting cramps. So that, he would call it preloading. And it was this idea that you basically chug a ton of it before you go and run a marathon or some, you know, significant workout.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does make a huge difference. I mean, we have a ton of people who take it, and it's actually a great ad campaign, which I haven't run. And that would be an interesting one to just get into the hands of new people and into the hands of athletes and people who are really working out a lot.
Yeah. All right. One other thing would be a single serving sticks of it possibly, or just something like marathoners or, you know, endurance athletes could take and they're just popping their water bottle while they're doing. I guess that, I don't know if that's something y'all have explored or gotten requests for.
We did. We had a powder. The powder actually was tastier. It was less salty. It had a more of an almost like an alkaline taste to it. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have that. It was under the old branding, and when we redid all the branding, it just wasn't the pouches that we had didn't rip off easily. They didn't pour into water. So we have it kind of on the shelf right now for let's figure out better packaging for this and how we can put it back out there. But that's definitely something we'll work on in the future.
Gotcha. Earlier you mentioned as part of way just to kind of keep yourself healthy and, you know, COVID free, we'll say is an anti-inflammatory diet. So what specific things, how do you, I guess, give the listeners an insight into how do you eat and structure your nutrition throughout the day?
I think nutrition's so personalized. I know for myself, I have different genetic methylation issues in which I was on a very kind of ketogenic paleo-focused diet, and it actually wasn't working for me because I don't digest fats well.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some blood work and realized that just wasn't working for me. So I had to adjust my diet about 6 months ago, and it's really changed a lot. I think it's really eating pure foods, non-processed, a lot of fruit, vegetables, wild meats. I'm a huge fan of big agriculture, industrialized meats, organic, supporting local farmers, produce that's seasonal. I think it's really important. We do a lot of CSAs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all of these things combined with, you know, the proper hydration and the proper supplementation can really optimize your health mm-hmm. and optimize stability in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Another big one for me is just gut stability. I had a lot of issues with IBS growing up
mm-hmm.
and have really eliminated those through supplementation and just dietary changes. And so keeping your gut, your microbiome healthy is going to keep your inflammation down. It's going to keep your immune system healthier.
Yeah. Gut health and supplements are another huge topic. And I mean, they've even before the immune supplement craze popped up the past couple of months, the gut health supplement market was exploding over, you know, the latter part of 2018 and through 2019. What supplements, if any, do you think are the ones that I guess were most effective for you and ones that average consumers could benefit from? Or is it more of an individualized approach?
I guess it depends on if you're looking at a specific condition that you're dealing with or not. I think that for me, what really helped were digestive enzymes. I needed specific, I take a hydrochloride, betaine hydrochloride to mm-hmm. help me digest those fats, which I just happen to need. I think a lot of people in the world also need it as well, which is, you know, something they may not know about. They may have indigestion or things and not realize it. Mm-hmm. We make a really fascinating supplement, butyric acid. It's a short chain fatty acid. Ours is called body butyrate. Our butyrate is, it feeds the colonocytes in the lining of the gut. Yeah. And so if there's a healthier turnover in the lining of the gut and the lining, you're sealing the kind of tight junctions that are there mm-hmm. and you have just a better environment for your probiotic to live and work and do its job in, then you are going to be much healthier. But I think to just pop a probiotic, sometimes we think we're being healthy, but it doesn't actually do anything to us.
Right.
And I think that combined with, you know, dietary changes is just massive.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about rescue.
Yeah.
What, I guess it's a blend of potassium, magnesium, and then it's got bicarbonates in it. So where would you position this for individuals?
It's almost like an electrolyte blend in a powder form with the bicarb. You know, it's funny because a lot of people find out about rescue for stomach issues. They mm-hmm. say, you know, oh, well, I took, well, that's obviously because of the bicarb. So that's why it's helping your indigestion.
Yeah.
But it's an electrolyte blend that my grandfather formulated really out of, again, you know, his need in biohacking his health and was really mm-hmm. trying to balance that potassium in the body. Yeah. So it's an interesting supplement. I don't necessarily know if it's for everybody, but it's one that people definitely like. There's some people who take it to get an energy boost and they find that they take, you know, a couple rescue and it's a good amount of energy for them, I guess, akin to, you know, eating a banana or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Would you consider it a competitor to Elite, a replacement, a substitute, or something that's in a different category or niche altogether?
I think it's in a different category, different niche altogether. It's not something that I think there's a specific need for it. Mm-hmm. And that supplement's taken when you know you need that. So it's not one of our main supplements that we manufacture, mm-hmm. but it's something that is, you know, decently popular mm-hmm. For that need. I think if we were going to make a pill form of the, I don't think we'd make a pill form of electrolyte. I think we'd do just like a single serve powder first.
Yeah. With that, would y'all keep it just as the plain kind of salty taste, or is there ever any inclination to possibly do a flavored route? No.
We like the hardcore stuff.
Hey, that's fine. I mean, I know a great many supplement manufacturers that just they like the way supplements were, you know, back in like the 80s and 90s, where you knew you were taking a supplement. It wasn't candy flavored or donut flavored or, you know, whatever it was.
I think that all of these added things, and it has to do with diet as well, all of these things, they change the structure of certain things in our body. And you just, I don't like artificial substitutes. It's just, it's just not our thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you drink coffee or tea?
I love coffee.
Okay. Well, there we go. Do you use sugar, honey, molasses, Splenda, stevia, anything like that? Good. Well, good answer.
Nothing.
That's a good answer.
And although I do love dairy. I drink raw dairy, mm-hmm. As do my kids, which is contentious, but I love raw dairy. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I will say about coffee, and I have noticed a specific change, is the source of it. Mold and mycotoxins are all over coffee. And if you drink coffee and get that jittery feeling, you change your coffee to a cleaner coffee, it diminishes it. It's wild. I mean, it's really interesting how the source of our coffee and the cleanliness of it makes a huge difference. I've been testing recently Bulletproof's coffee because I trust that mm-hmm. what they say is what they are. And I really like it. I can say I speak very highly of it. I used to be into the whole, you know, coffee flavors, and I would go to all these extremes, especially when I lived in London, to go to all these different coffee shops. But I think at this point in my life, my health is much more dialed in and I notice things a lot more. And it's important for me to have just a super clean coffee. First thing in the morning, I do love my cup of coffee in the morning.
I was going to ask, what kind of a roast do y'all enjoy? Is it dark, medium, light? And then you already answered the question with what kind of beans are y'all using? So that would have been one of my questions. Dark roast?
Yep.
That's good. That's much the same way here. We like dark roast coffee and black as can be.
That's how I enjoy it.
Excellent. Going forward, what do you expect? Do you expect the supplement industry to maintain its strength throughout the rest of 2020 as
I
the
think
economy
it's
kind of gets kick-started and re-going again?
I really think it's going to grow. I think that more and more people are going to think to themselves that this scare them. You know, you're stuck inside your house thinking about your health, thinking when everything opens back up, how is this going to affect my life? How am I going to live a healthier life? You have more people working out now online than ever. And I think you have more people really thinking about what they're putting into their bodies. So I think it's going to grow exponentially. I really do.
Has much changed with you or your husband's personal fitness? I didn't know. I don't know if y'all went to a gym before, if y'all trained at home or anything. What has, I guess, transpired in terms of your own training?
I think for us, it's always our way of decompressing, kind of closing out the day or starting the day. We have two kids. We have an 8-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. So finding the time to work out is definitely difficult. And finding the time to work out within the quarantine has been very interesting. But making that time a priority, even if it's just to get down and, you know, do some yoga and stretches for a little, I think is really important. But yeah, it's been an adjustment. My husband was at the gym a lot. We've been using a Peloton a lot more. And so to not have that space to clear your head's definitely been different.
Has it been difficult? Because fortunately for us, daycare was considered an essential service down here in Texas. So we are daycare and remained adamant that they were going to stay open come hell or high water during this whole business shutdown. So that's been a godsend for us to be able to get work done during the day. How do y'all juggle being parents, running a successful business, and then still getting, family time, just you and your husband together too?
So today's my first day back at work. We are fortunate enough to have a full-time nanny. We've got, you know, our hands full with the kids, but we did not have her come for 6 weeks and just decided that we would stay home. Brad was coming into work. We really only had, you know, we still barely anyone's here. We only have essential people here. So most of the company's working from home, and he would come in for half the day. I'd watch the kids in the morning. He'd come back just during nap time, and then he would watch the kids in the afternoon so I could get the work done in the afternoon. And we were just constantly doing this balance. It's tough, and I feel for people. I mean, I know a couple who are both doctors. Their daycare closed, and they, you know, so they had to bring in a relative, but they really had to. I mean, that's just crazy. They still have to go to the hospital, and our lives don't end when coronavirus happened. So it's definitely been very interesting. My husband and I have a strict rule that we do not talk about work in the car. We have an hour-long drive to and from work. We do not talk about work at all during that time. And we really try not to talk about work when we're at home. We put our phones down, and unless something's really important, we try to just focus on those kids for that time before bedtime. And then at least after bedtime, you have some alone time.
Outstanding. Yeah, it's been interesting. I'm always amazed when they said deemed what's essential and what's non-essential. I'm thinking you could almost make an argument for anything being an essential depending on what that person's circumstances are in life, especially. And that was one of the reasons they kept the daycares open here is because a lot of the first responders kids go to the daycare where we send our
They're gonna
daughter.
go.
And it's where would they go? I mean, they would be up a creek without a paddle big time.
And they're imperative right now. So, you know, all this health is really, it's just a crazy time. It really is just so unprecedented.
Yeah, it is. How's the morale of the troops at the office and everything?
You know, I think it's high. I think everybody, I see a lot of posts on Facebook from some of my colleagues. They miss their colleagues and miss seeing people every day. We are all on Slack, which is great, and it's been working really well. We're all doing Zoom calls, and everybody's there, you know, some with their kids, some by themselves. It's just trying to be there for everybody as much as we can. And I think the morale's been really high, though. I think there's, you know, that people are seeing that there's a lot of people unemployed, and it's scary. And we're really fortunate that our business is okay and that we are essential. And especially, you know, especially being in the state of New Jersey, being so close to New York. So we're really lucky. I'm glad we're in South Jersey, not North Jersey. And I'm glad we're able to, the essential people like our quality control and manufacturer are able to come in here and feel safe.
I'm always amazed. It's New Jersey is such an interesting place because that is a hotbed of the supplement industry. There are so many big companies that are up there, big and small companies too, and manufacturers up there. I'm trying to figure out what it is about New Jersey that was this breeding ground for, you know, this explosion, because New Jersey's a hotbed. There's a lot in Florida too. There's a couple in Texas, but not nearly as many. But I mean, it, like New Jersey and Florida, I always think are like two huge hotbeds of the supplement industry. Do you have any idea why that is, or, you know, what's causing that?
I think Florida makes sense because they, you know, have incentives for businesses to be there, but there's no tax incentives for supplement companies in New Jersey. So, you know, who knows? Yeah. It's a very densely populated state, I guess. But I mean, you think about it, most of, you know, health freaks are you go to California and like everyone is, or places like Boulder, Colorado, where I went to college, people are so health conscious there. Mm-hmm. It's not like that's the case in New Jersey, but there's a lot of supplement companies in New Jersey. It's funny.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've always wondered that, and I've never gotten a good answer from anybody. Or just nobody knows why. It's not lack of a good answer. Just nobody has an explanation for it or you know, a reason.
I can tell you we're here because my grandfather has had this building forever, and it's a huge building where we can manufacture everything. And his family's from here. I mean, our family's been in Millville for the longest time. So he had a steel company before he started the vitamin business down here. So there was a lot of manufacturing in this area in general, but there's no other supplement companies in Millville. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Have y'all gotten any inquiries for, or is there ever a consideration for expansion to start manufacturing a select number of products for other brands and operating almost as a contract manufacturer for other companies?
We used to, actually. Yeah, we used to white label things. We do not any longer because I think that there's enough brand equity in our brand. And it's what makes us stand apart is our PC and our butyrate and our Elite. You know, they're things that's spent in balance oil. They're not like any other companies. So if we were to white label, that opens up marketing availability for other companies.
Right.
And we just want to keep it. We want to keep it to ourselves.
Yeah. No, that it's a smart business decision. So,
yeah.
Going forward, as we wrap things up here, what message would you like to get to consumers, and what can they expect from y'all for the rest of this year and the early part of 2021?
I think just, you know, for us, it's, we've always wanted to help people get healthy, and we're just going to continue doing exactly what we do, just healthy cells, healthy life. And how can you help your cells be healthier? By, you know, taking a selection of our supplements. So I think if we can just continue that, we're going to be in a really good position.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much again, Jess, for the time today. And where can everybody find you at?
Bodybio.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you again. And have a great day. Y'all stay safe.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. Bye.